This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another candidate interview, Democratic candidate for governor, Patrick Starnes in. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
It's good to see you, Randy, and it's good to be back on the Umpqua.
And talk about your campaign. How do you feel like things have been going?
Well, it's become clear that we're in the top three candidates since we were just in a debate in Sun River last Sunday on my birthday. And then also Tuesday, we were at a debate in Portland on KOIN, Channel 6. So I think we're getting more and more support because there are a lot of people, a lot of Democrats who aren't satisfied with the status quo. They don't want the same 15 years because both my big opponents were been in Salem for 15 years, and we don't want 15 more years of the same.
Well, and nationally, in both parties, there are a lot of trending towards newcomers or folks that have been involved in other areas. And do you feel like that is going to propel you even further in the next week or so?
Yeah, being a former independent and a Democrat, I was the secretary of the Democratic Party back when Kitzhaber was here when he first got elected. And I think, yeah, a true outsider who's not taking any corporate money, not taking any PAC money, and I've limited my donations to $1,000, is refreshing for a lot of voters. And we're also not just providing platitudes like, oh, we really care about that issue. We're providing concrete solutions and proposals.
So if you were elected, what would you work on the first month in Salem?
We have to get big money out of politics in Salem. We're one of five states, Kyle, with like Mississippi, with no limits whatsoever. And that's why you see like $1 million from Phil Knight going to one of my future opponents. And that's the promise in the first 100 days to build that table, a bipartisan table, so your state senator and the other state senators can finally set limits in Oregon. And I would propose they set it similar to what I've been role modeling, which is a $1,000 limit, no corporate money, no PAC monies. Because when I went door to door in 2019 to get the constitutional amendment referred to the voters, which was Measure 107, which we knocked out of the ballpark with 78% across the state, when I went door to door, I heard from the Republicans they were concerned about the big PAC monies, and the Democrats were concerned about the big corporate monies or the Phil Knight kind of monies. So I think if we ban corporate money and PAC money, I think then it's just the voters donating, and it creates a whole different kind of campaign season for Oregon.
So financially right now, how do you think the state of Oregon is doing?
It's mixed. You know, we did have a surplus, so we had a kicker. So that's a good sign. And, you know, as you just heard on the national news, the jobs are, you know, there are plenty of jobs. I mean, I would argue that it's actually a workers market, you know, so workers get to pick and choose. Because there's a real big demand for workers across the spectrum.
So along with campaign finance, what are some of the other issues you're focusing on?
Well, Kyle, sadly, we have almost 300,000 working Oregonians who have no health insurance at all. They make too much for OHP, which Dr. Kitzhaber created back in the 90s. And then their employer doesn't cover them because maybe they're not full-time. So what I want to do is expand OHP for all, so that it'll save money for schools and for businesses because we'll have all the workers covered. And what's great about it is if you work in the private sector or the public sector, it transfers with you. Or if you decide to go back to school and improve your skills, you'll still be covered with OHP.
What about the state education system? What would you do there?
Well, see, this program, OHP for All, would free up about 20% of our dollars are going to private for-profit health insurance right now. And you know, because I served over 10 years on school boards, including the Douglas ESD, and that's where I came up with this idea that if we could retain those health insurance dollars into the classroom, we'll have more teaching assistants across all the grades, and we'll improve our graduation rates significantly.
What about the state infrastructure? I mean, that was a big word in the presidential election, but around Oregon, you've got a lot of bridges and roads that have kind of got to the end of their useful life.
Yeah, that's the scary part about losing Congressman DeFazio, you know, since he was the chair of the public works in Washington, D.C., we hope we still get that support for our freeways and all that. But I think the county has a good, solid base of a road support, you know, because they have a separate fund in the county for the county roads. And I think it's time for us to explore a different kind of transportation system in Oregon, especially up in the Tri-County area, the Portland metro area, where you have a good transit system, but it could do better. And that would reduce the congestion when you travel through Portland as well.
Looking around the state, what are some of the other issues that particularly interest you?
Well, one of the reasons I'm running is to stop the divisiveness. And one of the ways I believe that we could stop the divisiveness is to have these shared successes with campaign finance reform, healthcare, solving the homelessness problem. And also, both parties, rural and urban, are concerned about wildfires and droughts. So if we tackle these common ground issues together, I think we're going to have one Oregon again, like it was when we were kids.
Having now lived in, I guess, at least three parts of the state for you, what do you notice now that you're more in and more towards the urban area? Do you see that urban-rural divide that's been talked about still really in effect?
Yeah, you know, I live in Brownsville, which is a half hour north of Eugene. But it's in Linn County, which is also a red county like Douglas County. So I would be called a red county Democrat or a rural Democrat. And I'm in a unique position against compared to my opponents because I've worked elbow to elbow with ranchers and farmers and timber industry on the Watershed Council here in the Umpqua. And I was elected several times and served over 10 years on the Douglas Soil and Water Conservation District. So I have that experience of working on natural resource issues with divergent opinions. And I think that's going to do well for me in the general election against Betsy Johnson and the GOP as well, because I'm not your urban career politician. So,
what about how would you lead the legislature, work with them?
Yeah, I believe just like we did with the Watershed Council, it was collaborative, and I feel strongly that we need to have it be bipartisan. And we saw that when we got the legislature to approve to refer the constitutional amendment to the voters, out of the 90 members that I went door-to-door in Salem, only five of them voted against referring that to the voters, which was Measure 107. And like I said before, we knocked it out of the ballpark. The lowest support for campaign finance reform on that measure was in Lake County, which was still 60%.
Have you felt it'd be especially hard to be up against two well-funded, very well-known folks and not be quite as well-known in many areas of the state?
Well, I'm pretty well-known because, as you know, I ran for governor in 2018 as an independent, and I'm doing something that the other candidates aren't doing. I'm traveling to all 36 counties because there's not just one part of Oregon that we need to get the votes from. Next week, next Tuesday, I go to my second tour of the South Coast. And today I'm going all the way to the California border through Grants Pass, Medford, and Ashland. So we're different in that way. We're campaigning the old way, where you actually meet all the voters out in the different counties. And it's fine that the two big corporate Democrats can split all the millions of dollars together, because we just need the largest third of the vote, 34%, because I predict two things. I predict that no one in both primaries will win with 51%, even the Democratic primary, and no one will win in the general election because of Betsy Johnson with 51%. So it's going to be a plurality. You remember in 92, Ross Perot took a big chunk of the votes from the conservatives, 20% of the vote, and Bill Clinton only won with 42%.
If people want to find out more about you, talk about your website and how they can get connected.
Yeah, our webpage is starnes2022.com, and folks can also call me directly. I take my own texts and my own phone calls at 541 671 7829. I'd be glad to hear from people, and I'm not afraid of any of the hard questions.
All right, Democratic candidate for governor, Patrick Starnes, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle. We'll see you soon.
841 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.